And it's our opportunity to say, good morning, Senator Sparks. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, John. Great to have a chance to visit with you again this week.
Yeah, I always say, because I know how busy you are with meetings and things, that just sometimes at the last minute you get called into one, and unfortunately we're not able to talk. So glad to hear from you this week. There is so much going on just from a legislative standpoint of bills that are moving around. Man, I could pick from so many different ones. Let's start with the insulin bills. The insulin proposal passed out of the House, I believe. Now it's up to the Senate. Where is the Senate on that? What have you heard?
Boy, John, you sure do your homework. I'll tell you what. Yeah,
there
is a lot of activity going on up here. You're absolutely right. The committees are busy working morning, noon, and night. And actually, the bill that you just spoke of yesterday, we've heard a couple versions of it, but one of the versions passed out of the Commerce Committee yesterday morning. And so we are working on those bills feverishly. I think that there's still a few differences between the House and the Senate, but I think the sooner we can kind of get them to a conference committee and try to work out those issues, it will be a good thing. We heard some stories of children and adults that were really struggling to pay with that. And so I think if we can come to a resolution on that bill here in the near future, that would certainly be a good start to this session.
Yeah, I have a sister who uses insulin, and even with good insurance, it's just crazy that she's got to pay. So.
Oh, it's insane when we heard some of the stories of the dollar amounts, and then sometimes how the insurance providers will make them switch to different insulins that don't work as well as what the doctor prescribed. And so I certainly hope that we can all work together to find a cure for this, because the cost of it is really, really crazy.
We were talking earlier today with the Parenting Resource Center, and they've got a program coming up that they hope people will attend, just about how to talk to your kids about things like vaping and marijuana use, especially marijuana use. And that conversation gets harder and harder. There are some proposals at the state capitol about looking into the legalization of marijuana. What have you heard? I know speculation is it's not going to get anywhere this year, but there are proposals going around.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of talk about it, but I think that we've heard similar concerns as you. I think that the House is pushing it a little bit harder than in the Senate. I currently don't believe, and I don't think unless something major changes, that it would take place this year. But I think, like you said, there's talk about it, but, you know, at the same time, we're also considering raising the purchase age to 21 for cigarettes. They're talking about banning certain kind of flavored tobacco, and then all of a sudden, in the next breath, we talk about potentially making recreational marijuana legal. So other states have done it. We've heard some issues from law enforcement and everything else. So if we do have that discussion, I think it's fine. But we want to make sure that if we do move forward, we want to make sure that we get it right and not make some of the errors that other states have done that have legalized it in the past.
Yeah, it's not hard to find horror stories that are out there. I mean, everyone points to the possibility of increased revenue and taxes and all of that. But it's like, man, you really want to see what the downside is on that, because there's no going back.
Oh, absolutely. And we just had some folks in here that, you know, work in the trucking industry. And, I mean, I think just that sometimes the amount of time that stuff can stay in your system. And I think just that, like you said, there's a lot of reasons to think it's a great idea and that you could have a lot of revenue. But I think that you also have to kind of look forward and think of the health care costs that could possibly happen, the workforce issues that come into play, as well as we have to make sure that the law enforcement is able to enforce it or have a way to check that, too, I think, because public safety obviously has to become a top concern as well.
You mentioned the flavored tobacco. Is that the flavored vaping materials that they're looking into?
Absolutely. I think it's a little bit broader than that, and we haven't seen that bill in committee yet, but I know that we've received a lot of emails both for supporting it and obviously some people that would like to keep the status quo. So we'll have to kind of track that bill as it moves forward, but I think it's vaping as well as the tobacco that's sold in the convenience stores and such.
These mini cigars that are all flavored with cherries and things like
right.
that. Not that I would know. Our president was very vocal, came out with this saying that they're going to ban all the flavored vaping materials, but, you know, devil in the details, there were a lot of exceptions in that and exemptions included, so that it was really almost completely ineffective in trying to keep the flavored materials, which is what's drawing kids into vaping. So is that kind of why states on their own are saying, well, now we have to deal with it?
I think that's exactly what's going on. We've heard a lot from our local schools, and especially with how creative some of these manufacturers are getting and kind of allowing the children to not so much hide it, but I mean, they're just there's a lot of different ways that they can use that system. And I think we've seen some of the stories of very healthy young individuals that have used that vaping and have had horrible health results. So mm-hmm. I think it's something we certainly have to look at and make sure that we know what's happening. But I believe that that's right, that the states are kind of having to try to trump what's going on at the federal level.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that's been coming up, and part of me is more amused by it than anything else, but it's very serious. This weekend, we spring forward, and I know there's legislation saying we should eliminate this whole spring forward fallback deal in Minnesota.
Yeah, and you know, that was not a new issue. It popped up last year, too, and I'm not exactly sure what's driving it. I mean, I think this current system works quite well, but obviously there's someone or something that thinks that they're a little bit wiser than us. I mean, typically I think it's served us quite well, and I don't know why we would make any changes to it. But again, it's something that obviously is up for discussion. And like you said, I mean, every day you can't open up the newspaper or turn on the radio or the TV without seeing a lot of different ideas floating around up here in St. Paul.
Yeah, it's sometimes very, very creative stuff. I'd be frustrated by it if we passed that, because I finally got enough devices in my house that they all set the clock by themselves, and then if we eliminate it, then suddenly I got to go back in and reset my clock.
Yeah, absolutely, and I know we were talking about that same thing. I mean, you know, obviously we lose an hour of sleep on Saturday night, but I think it's kind of nice to have that extended daylight. It's good for our farmers. It's good for many people. It takes a little time to adjust, but overall I think it's served us quite well, and I don't know why we'd make a major change in that regard.
Yeah. If that's the worst thing that happens in our lives, I think we're doing okay.
Exactly.
All right, I've gone down my checklist. What have you been working on this past week? I know, it's like you said, it's been very busy.
Yeah, we've got a lot of individual bills that we've been trying to track. We've got committee hearings. Obviously, we have a lot of people from the district coming up and saying hi and kind of talking about their issues or concerns. The Senate floor has been kind of quiet, although Thursday now we're going to go and take some action on the disaster contingency account. We're going to refill that. And unfortunately, as many remember, last winter we had the big ice storm with many of our utility poles that were knocked out. And people were kind of stranded, so we were able to use some of those dollars. So I think it's important that we backfill that. Hopefully, knock on wood, we don't have any tornadoes like they just had down in the Nashville area. But if we would have a flood or a tornado or a natural disaster, I just think it's so important to have that money available for the governor to access immediately and get those dollars to our local people that need that help. Also, very timely, after last night's primary or Super Tuesday, we're going to have a bill up on the floor dealing with primary voter data treatment, and some people are kind of concerned what they might do, and we've heard from local folks as well that, you know, when you go and vote, that's a pretty private issue, and it should remain that way, and so I think we're going to make some changes to that to make sure that that data stays private and people have the right to go make a decision whichever way they choose.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an interesting primary. The numbers in Minnesota, and I mean, it, in a way, it makes me really proud, especially of Moore County. The numbers for a presidential primary were very, very strong, and that's a good thing.
That's very encouraging. I think, you know, this is something new that we haven't done in the past, but I think that people are kind of appreciative, and especially as more and more people get educated and learn about it, I think it's probably the best way to go. It's safe, it's secure, people are used to it, and like I said, yeah, that was encouraging to see so many people come out.
Yeah, I think it was the last time in Minnesota was 92 that we had a presidential primary
vote. Yep, it's been quite a while. Yeah, they've always had it kind of through the caucuses, which is a different kind of system. And a few years ago when we had long lines and people standing out in the cold, I think, you know, kind of around the entire state, we just realized that maybe it's better to go back to this primary voting system. And I think, you know, from what I've heard, most people think that that's probably a good idea. So we can make some tweaks to make sure it stays safe and secure. And I think going forward, that's probably the way we'll continue to do it.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see later, probably this week or next, when the Secretary of State will come out with what the numbers were statewide. And I have a feeling it's going to be fairly impressive, considering it's the first time in literally decades since we've done that.
Absolutely. He was in my office last week and just wasn't really sure, you know, what it was going to happen. So I think that he's going to be, you know, pleasantly surprised that we had that many people turn out. I think you're right. I mean, the people of Minnesota really do take that seriously, which they should. It's your right, once you're 18, to go cast your vote and then make your voice heard. So good for everyone for doing that.
All right. Well, Senator Dan Sparks, we're running out of time here. Always a pleasure to talk with you. If anybody has comments, concerns, want to get a hold of you, the easy way is probably email. I know your staff
Absolutely.
Is very good about following up on any information that comes in.
Yes, that's good. We receive emails morning, noon, and night, and I think that's a great way, like I said, to have your issue that you care about voiced, and we'll get back to you certainly and talk to you about where we stand on those issues. So continue to make sure you stay engaged, and we enjoy visiting with you and kind of letting your listeners know what's going on up here at St. Paul the best that we can.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate your time. Have a great week, and hopefully next Wednesday we'll get together and chat again.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, John.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate
it. Take care. Yep.
Senator Dan Sparks joining us for a couple of minutes up there from the state capitol. Like we said, always very, very busy up there doing the work that we have sent them to do. And interesting pieces of legislation going around here in this bonding year, and pretty soon they'll get to bonding. All right, we've got a run just coming up in a couple of moments. We'll check some farm markets for you here on The Voice of Moore County.